You're listening to the Q&A session of the Gearheart. I know that I'm 2 weeks late on the latest episode, but I'll make it up to you. Renee got in a wreck this morning. She's okay, but she's a bit too loopy for recording such a serious section. This is serious, folks. Quite dramatic. Well, too dramatic for hydrocodone, anyway. That's why I've taken the liberty tonight of doing a bit of Q&A, and Thursday morning, you'll wake up to see a triple-length episode 35. That's right. One full hour of Cog basically attacking anyone and everything in a knockdown, drag-out grudge match. So now you have that to look forward to. Oh, and if you haven't had a chance to stop by the website and check out the new Cog wallpaper, you really should. Brooke Fox posed for me as Cog, and she's absolutely stunning. Any desktop would be lucky to have her. You can follow her on Twitter as FoxB. The word Fox, the letter B. Expect more cast member wallpapers in the coming weeks. Well, on with the questions. Listener slash extremely awesome fan Kyle Dockery writes, besides D&D, what was the main idea behind the Gearheart? Well, I honestly wanted to write a romantic comedy to start with. I'd been toying around with the idea and I was looking for elements that would add to the wackiness. I also expand quite a bit on this idea in my first video post from Los Angeles. Basically, though, what started out as a comedy turned quite serious. Each iteration turned more and more dramatic until I had a lot more action than comedy. Thus, we have the current incarnation you know today. Listener Paul E. Cooley, author of the fabulous story Tattoo, asks two questions. First, why the mix of magic and steampunk? What brought you to cement the two? Well, in a lot of ways, steampunk is totally ridiculous. The idea of steam out of control doesn't actually work as a physical construction. And you could call the Gearheart dieselpunk, but it doesn't contain any non-magical tech we didn't already have by 1945. Biplanes, zeppelins, telephones, etc. However, I wanted that science out of control adventuresome feel, and so I felt I had to have arcane super devices. I think I just told myself that science out of control is really no different than magic, and the natural fusion just occurred on its own. Some of you might recognize, I guess it was an Arthur C. Clarke quote about that subject, but very, very true. And I think that the super tech kind of creates a steampunk feel, which is what everybody sees, and I'm more than happy to be associated with that noble genre. You can see that attitude reflected pretty strongly in the mechanics of magic as well. Everything in the Gearheart behaves the same way that any other energy conversion would. Just as a heater converts electrical energy to thermal, so too can you create a device that converts unseen arcane energies into other types. However, specialists like Augustus and Astrid are the only ones who really understand how to do that. Obviously, because their names both start with A. Nah, just kidding. The second question is, how difficult is it to write music for the episodes? Do you plan the tunes before you write the episode? It's very difficult for me to write the music for the episode since I have almost no formal musical education. I know how to read the notes on a keyboard and look up chords and scales, and that's it. I'm extremely hit or miss. I have literally dozens of tunes that never make the cut. Sometimes I strum on the guitar until I have something, and that becomes the bass chord progression for everything else. In many cases, I start out trying to write some stock music that I can use throughout the series. The songs Steel Convictions and Secrets of the Antonellos are prime examples of this. In fact, their original project names were Tense and Learning Stuff, respectively. In other cases, though, I created songs for extremely specific scenes and edited the scenes before final mixdown so I could get a length for the music. Two songs that come to mind for that are Threads of Time and City of Wings. You only hear them once because they were written for one purpose and don't really work for anything else. Though, if I get really desperate, I might try to recut them, I don't know. Thanks for the questions, Paul. You can find his book, Tattoo, on podiobooks.com. You should definitely check it out. Listener slash incredible jazz singer Starla Hutchton asks, do you have any plans to do any prequel work about Cog? Why, yes, I do. It'll be the next podcast after I do Festival of the Bazaar, which is my cyberpunk noir thriller. In the meantime, however, you'll be able to hear more about Augustus Ellsworth in the short story Maiden Flight of the Avenger. I'll be posting details on how to get at that in the next few weeks, so be sure to check it out. Not a lot of people know this, but the first feature-length screenplay I wrote back in 2003 was the story of how Jonathan met Cog and became a Seeker. It was originally called The Clockwork Girl, for lack of a better title. I really just couldn't think of anything. Eventually, I changed the name to The Gearheart and sold the old web domain to Arcana Studios of Los Angeles so they could market their comic book title of the same name. So if you ever say, "Who came first?" now you know. Starla Hutchton is the author of The Dreamer's Thread, a killer audiobook that has gotten rave reviews around the internet. You can also find that at audiobooks.com. Listener/supermodel Brooke Fox asks, "What was it about The Gearheart that compelled you to stick with it over the years instead of just moving on to other stories?" See, this is a really funny question to me because I think about that a lot. I failed to create The Gearheart in one way or another since 1999. It originally started out as a comic, became a Shockwave game, then a failed novel, then a feature-length screenplay, then a failed sequel, and then finally this. It's hard for me to believe that Cog and Jonathan turned 10 last year. It was frustrating, and the writing was terrible, and everything always fell apart in the second act. I've probably written about 1,000 pages of scrap material, and I'm not kidding. The problem was, every time I quit working on it, another piece of the puzzle would fall into place. Isabel's progression, the Seekers, Cog's god-awful family, and many of the other things I love about the Gearheart were solutions that suddenly popped into my head one day when I hadn't worked on the story in months. It also helps that Cog and Jonathan are very special to me. I wanted to write about a strong female character who wasn't just another butt-kicker with no feelings. I feel like there are a lot of those in movies and TV and comics. Just the super strong female that has no weaknesses. Well, except that one kind of kryptonite that reduces her to tears, which is really boring. So, I kind of wanted to write about Cog because, yeah, she swings a sword and whatnot, but she's also a proper lady. She's, you know, a duchess to be, or was going to be one, you know. I like her because I feel like I really know her. And Jonathan is someone that I enjoy writing as well. He's not particularly brave or talented. He just cares a lot for his friends and would do anything for them. A lot of his inspiration came from Dr. Jackson from Stargate. I haven't seen the TV series, but the movie was awesome. And I guess Bilbo Baggins, because I really, really liked that Hobbit. I didn't really care that much about Frodo, but Bilbo was just amazing. It was like they were traveling with an accountant who seemed to have all the solutions to all their problems, even though he's kind of a yutz. So that's what Jonathan was to me, is just kind of a yutz who seems to always have the solution in the end. Basically, though, Brooke, I just knew that there was a really good story in there, and I really needed to dig to get it out. As I stated before, Brooke Fox is the body of our intrepid heroine, and you'll see a lot more pictures of her in the future. You'll also get to see some pictures of Ben Hummel's incredibly crafted sword, so stay tuned for that. Well, until Thursday, I hope you've enjoyed this Q&A session, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts on the latest episode.